This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Bloch. There was a long line for former President Bill Clinton's first book signing appearance today at a store in New York. Some fans camped overnight to make sure they got an autograph. His autobiography, My Life, went on sale this morning. It's already a bestseller, with more than 2 million advance orders placed. But some critics have panned it. NPR's Mara Liasson has this report.
Everything about William Jefferson Clinton is outsized. His command of policy, his political skills, and his personal failings. His autobiography is no exception. At 957 pages, My Life is very large. So is the hype surrounding its release. Clinton is giving dozens of interviews, bookstores are staying open to midnight, and there's even lots of silly speculation about how the book might affect the presidential race. But for someone who covered Clinton for all 8 years of his presidency, this book is puzzling. How can someone with such a colorful personality and formidable ability to communicate have produced such a flat, colorless book? A lot of it reads like daily diary entries, and there are mind-numbing recitations of foreign capitals visited and bills signed. Part of the answer might be that this is a presidential memoir, and like most others, it's written to influence history's judgment. And in this case, to avoid hurting the ongoing career of his wife, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. The book discusses their marriage and the affair that Clinton says almost ended it. He says he spent months sleeping on the couch and a year of weekly marriage counseling. But he also writes of his enduring love and respect for Hillary. Here's one of 5 audio excerpts from the book that Clinton's publisher has provided.
Probably more has been written or said about our marriage than about any other in America. I've always been amazed at the people who felt free to analyze, criticize, and pontificate about it. After being married for nearly 30 years and observing my friends' experiences with separations, reconciliations, and divorces, I've learned that marriage, with all its magic and misery, all its contentments and disappointments, remains a mystery, not easy for those in it to understand, and largely inaccessible to outsiders. On October the 11th, 1975, I didn't know any of that. All I knew then was that I loved Hillary, the life, work, and friends we now had in common, and the promise of what we could do together. I was proud of her, too, and thrilled to be in a relationship that might not ever be perfect, but would certainly never be boring.
Clinton blames his affair with Monica Lewinsky on, quote, the old demons that haunted him since childhood. He calls his behavior both immoral and foolish. He says he lied about the affair because he was ashamed of his behavior and he was trying to protect his family and himself from his, quote, selfish stupidity. But once the fight to save his presidency begins, he describes it as a righteous struggle against forces that abused the legal system and severely damaged innocent people in their attempt to destroy his presidency. Clinton has plenty of scores to settle. First and foremost is his nemesis, independent counsel Kenneth Starr, who he describes as a leader of a right-wing cabal. Clinton says conspiracy is the wrong word because his enemies were open about their desire to drive him from office. He also has harsh words for former FBI Director Louis Freeh. Clinton accuses Freeh of assuming an adversarial position to the White House in order to please the Republicans in Congress and divert attention from the FBI's own problems. Clinton also writes of how he warned President-elect George W. Bush that Osama bin Laden was the biggest threat to national security. He says Mr. Bush, quote, listened without much comment and then changed the subject. And although the former president doesn't paint many intimate portraits of the world leaders he worked with over his 8 years, he does offer his insights about his unsuccessful attempt to convince Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat to accept a peace deal with Israel. Clinton writes that Arafat seemed confused and not wholly in command of the facts. Based on the advance excitement generated by the book, Bill Clinton continues to be one of those figures that many Americans simply can't get enough of. His presidency generated strong feelings, pro and con, that haven't gone away, and there's still tremendous curiosity about his personal life. This book is unlikely to put any of that to rest. Here's how Clinton ends his story.
Our job is to live as well and as long as we can, and to help others to do the same. What happens after that and how we're viewed by others is beyond our control. The river of time carries us all away. All we have is the moment. Whether I had made the most of mine was for others to judge.
Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.